time to work. Amen. I trust that's what we've come for tonight. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your praise the Lord. Trust that's what we've come for tonight. Amen. Our hearts prepared and ready for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. We change the order of the service tonight. Father, we're just grateful once again, Lord, to gather together. Lord, brothers and sisters, Lord, of like precious faith, having the same testimony of Jesus Christ. We have that shared experience, Lord. We have the same Father. And Lord, I'm thankful that we can come tonight. I'm thankful that we can gather around your word. And I'm thankful that it's a revealed word, Lord. You've come in our day, Lord, and you've opened the book to us. Lord, you've given us the interpretation. You've given us the revelation, Lord. You've shown us what we need to know. So, Lord, we just look into your book tonight, Father. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us. Speak to these young people, Father. Speak to the old people. Speak to everyone, Father. We commit each one to you, Lord. We set this time each month aside, Lord, for the young people especially. And we just ask a special blessing on them, Father. Lord, that your word would minister to them. Lord, that you would be so real to them, Lord. Lord, that their lives would be, they would just dedicate their lives wholly to you, Lord. That there would be no shadow of a doubt that you are their God, you are their Father, you are their Creator. We thank you, Father. We thank you for those that have labored to put together fellowship afterwards, snacks and things, Father. We're grateful for that. But Lord, it wouldn't be anything without you. And Lord, your presence here makes the difference, and we're so thankful for it, Father. I just pray that you'd bless this word tonight, Lord, as we open up your word, Father. We commit our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew tonight. We're going to look at some scriptures here in Chapter 15, chapter 6, Matthew. Amen. There's nothing like being at church on a rainy night. Amen. As long as the roof isn't leaking, right, Brother John? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Bible says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in or break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. We just would like to title this tonight, Give Him Your Heart. Amen. Give Him Your Heart. we see here where Jesus speaking. He says, these people have drawn close to me with their mouth, with their lips. They honoreth me with their lips. They're giving him, we call that lip service, right? Where they say one thing, but really, he says, their heart is far from me. Because of that, their worship is vain. And their doctrines mean nothing. They become commandments of men because their heart was not given to him. Amen. And so that's what we want to look at here tonight. Many people give many things to the Lord. Words, works, religious things. They do services. They do services for people. They work hard. But what he really wants is your heart. Amen. Above all else. So we're going to look tonight and we're going to use the life of Samson in the Bible as our example here tonight, or a counterexample, really, of what we're speaking about. Because we know that Samson gave his gifts to God. He gave his strength to God. But he didn't give God his heart. And that was his downfall, that he didn't give God his heart. So it's a warning to all of us, amen, that we could serve. And it's even more of a temptation, or it can be more of a trial if we have an office in the church, if we're serving the church somehow, right? If we're a musician, or if we're a song leader, or a minister, or however we're serving, if we're serving the body somehow, it can be even a temptation. We're faithfully serving the church, or even faithfully coming to church. I'm in church. I never miss a service. But all of that aside, what God really wants from you is his heart. Amen. Amen? He wants your whole heart. He doesn't want you just following rules of the church. He doesn't want you just doing things in the church. He doesn't want you just, fulfilling a job or doing something for him. He wants your heart. That's what he's after. Amen. So let's look at the story of Samson. Now we could spend a lot of time going through Samson, and I want to try and get through this, with an eye on time here, but I don't want to go in and read all through Samson. So you can read the story of Samson in Judges chapter 15 and 16, I believe it is. I don't think it goes into 17. I think it's just 15 and 16 in the book of Judges, if you want to go back and read that. But we'll just reference that story. And so Samson was born in a miraculous way. He was born, his birth was forerun by an angel of visitation. An angel came and spoke to his parents and said, you're going to have a son. And they told him what he would be and what he would do, and that he was to have a Nazarite vow. And a Nazarite vow means that he was to abstain from certain things. He was to abstain from eating and drinking certain things. His life was to be honored, consecrated. And one of the stipulations was he was to never cut his hair, right, as part of that Nazarite vow. So these were all things in the natural that he was to do, and to keep that vow as a Nazarite. And as long as he kept that Nazarite vow, God would be with him, and God would bless him, and God would anoint him and use him to fight against their enemies, the Philistines. Amen? So God had a special plan for his life. Amen? He set Samson aside, and he blessed him with a gift, and he set in motion in his life a special plan. Amen? And that special plan and that special call that he had on his life and he placed in his life was accompanied by a special gift. And that was a gift of strength. Amen. He gave him what he had need of to go forward in what God had given him to do. And in this case, it was supernatural strength. Amen. And God always provides what we need. Amen. When he calls you to do something, when he places you in a family, or he places you in a situation, or he calls you into a calling, he always gives you what you need. Amen. What kind of God would he be if he hadn't thought of those things ahead of time? Amen. Of course, he gives you, he makes you a special way, each person, and he gives you what you need in your life
to fulfill what he has called you to do. So his special gift was an amazing strength. Amen? And it wasn't just that he would be strong all the time, but it would come on him in the time of need. The Spirit of God would move on him, and he would suddenly have this great strength, and he could overcome his enemies with this strength. He would be able to perform amazing feats that no other person could ever do, right? Things that were impossible, things that there was no physical way for a person to do. One of the things he did is he lifted the gates of a city. He picked them up and carried them off. And the estimates, you know, of scholars that have looked into these things estimate that these gates must have weighed something like 8,000 pounds. So there's just no human way that it would be possible. I don't care how much you work out and how many steroids you take and how you pump up. You can't throw 8,000 pounds on your back and carry it off like it was nothing. Right? It was supernatural all the way. It was God doing that in Samson's life. So he had the supernatural working in his life all the way from before he was born. Amen? Called supernatural workings in his life. Now, contrary to popular belief, and if you see pictures of Samson or, you know, in books or things like that, the way that people often think of Samson was that he was this big strapping guy. But he wasn't. He was just a small, normal looking, just a Jew, right? He was just a man. But he had a gift that God placed in his life. He was just normal looking, right? You wouldn't look at him and go, man, you know, there's the giant. He wasn't a huge man. He wasn't different looking from the natural standpoint. Now, right away, we see Samson when he's born. We don't see a lot in the Bible about his early life, but he comes of age. And as soon as he comes of age, the Bible tells us that he goes and he goes after a Philistine woman for his wife. Right away. Yeah, he's just a young man. I don't know. He's, you know, maybe just become an adult. So maybe a late teen, something like that. 18, 19, somewhere in there maybe. And, you know, he's old enough, right, to get married and to think about having a wife. And so what he does is he seeks after, he sees a beautiful Philistine girl. Now the Philistines, obviously, they're the enemy, right? His calling is to fight against the Philistines. But you see, he wasn't thinking about that. He wasn't thinking about what God wanted him to do. This desire he had to marry a Philistine woman had nothing to do with God's will for his life. He was thinking about what he wanted. Right? He had in, it showed what was in his heart. It showed that it wasn't God driving his desires. He hadn't given his heart to God because he went after what he wanted. He was seeking after beauty. And so he saw the Philistine girl and he said, that's what I want. She was beautiful, right? She, you know, maybe the Philistine girls, they dressed differently than the Israelite girls. They were more in the modern fashion. And that's what he wanted. It caught his eye. And that was his desire. That what was in his heart. Now that was against the law of God. Amen. They were supposed to marry in the faith. That was God's law for them. That was God's instruction to them. Marry in the faith. Amen. They weren't supposed to go outside of the faith and marry. And brother, sister, that's good advice for us. Amen. That's true even to today. We should always look in the faith. Because how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amen. We always want to look for a mate in the faith that believes what we believe. Amen. Otherwise, you'll always be at odds. So not only is he go after a wife who's not in the faith, he goes after a wife who's part of the enemy. The ones that are, you know, putting the clamps down on Israel, they're enslaving them and, you know, persecuting them. The ones that he's supposed to fight against. So this just shows you his heart. Amen? Now, it didn't affect his gift. It didn't affect the power, the supernatural. It didn't affect the manifestation in his life. It was still there because that was dependent on his obedience in the Nazirite vow. But it showed that Samson, while he surrendered that to God, he didn't surrender his heart. Amen. And that's really what we're talking about tonight. That's the crux of it. Amen. The unconverted heart is unstable. Amen. It doesn't know who knows what it's going to do. It doesn't know what it's going to do. It's not guided by God's Spirit or God's law. And he was unstable. He couldn't be trusted. Amen? He would go out and look and choose badly. Amen? Unwisely. Because he didn't have a love for the truth. A love for God's word would have constrained him and said, no, God's word said that I should do this. That I should be looking for a wife in the house of Israel. Right? That's what the word told him. But he didn't have a love for the truth. Now, look at this compared to David. Now, everybody knows what David did. Right? David, he lusted after a woman too. Bathsheba. And he had her husband killed so that he could have her. Is that right? I mean, that's bad. But yet David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David repented with fervent repentance. And even when he broke God's law, when his eyes were open to it, his heart it wrenched his heart. Right? He loved God's law. You could see it all through his writing, and he was devastated when in his weakness, he broke God's law. When he realized what he had done, he was devastated and repentant and cried out to God because his heart belonged to God. See, that's the difference. It didn't mean he didn't make a mistake, but his heart was toward God. He didn't want to disobey God. He didn't have the power. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. He didn't have the overcomer. He was an unconverted, right? Christ hadn't come yet. But David's heart was towards God. Amen. But Samson's wasn't. Samson wasn't worried about it. He wasn't thinking about it. People tried to tell him, no, you know, this is the wrong way. And he wouldn't receive it. He just went off. He said, this is what I want to do. And nobody's going to tell me any different. Amen? So he goes after this Philistine girl, and there's trouble. Amen? There's friction. There's problems. And because guess what? They don't like the Israelites. They're the enemy. And so he has a run-in with them. There's several different conflicts that happen. We don't have time to go into all of them, but eventually he's rejected of that by that family, right? Rejected, the father rejects him. She rejects him. He marries her to someone else. He comes back. He says, well, I thought you hated her. So here's her little sister. And the whole thing turned into a mess. Amen? Eventually, the father just tells him to get lost. And as a result, maybe you've heard the story, he catches 300 foxes. And ties their tails together and lights a flame. Right? He takes some little tinder and sticks and things and ties it to the tail and lights it on fire and lets them go into the vineyards and the fields that were drying for harvest. And you can imagine the devastation. I want to know how long it took him to catch 300 foxes. Amen? That's not easy to do. And you know, I was thinking about that. I had thought about it before. It's like, wow, that's, you know, 300 foxes. That's a lot. But how long did it take him? And here's my question with that. If it took him a long time, how stubborn his anger, right? This wasn't just a little, he blew up and did something off the cuff. No, this took time. I mean, his anger burned and kindled and smoldered for a long time to be able to pull this off. Amen? He was vindictive. He had a temper. He had anger. And as a result of him doing this, the Philistines burned the woman and her father. I mean, things are just falling apart. This is worse and worse, right? But notice, God is using him because he has this gift, this blessing in his life. And so even in his rebellion, God is using this to sow chaos with his enemies. Amen? He's causing chaos with the Philistines. And he just begins to fight and to fight and to fight. And at every turn, they're coming up against one another. And they're hiring enemies to stop him. And it's just a mess. He tries to join up with them. And that's a mistake. Amen? Why would we try and make peace with our enemy? But Samson keeps going back to them. Amen? Don't go on the devil's turf. Don't go to your enemy's house. Amen. We shouldn't do that. Amen. We should stay away. That's our enemy. But he kept going back for more, going back for more. There was something in him driving him. The enemy is good at hiding his intentions. And so Samson couldn't see. He couldn't tell that the Philistines were carefully plotting against him. And all he saw was pretty girls. Amen? All he was looking for was pretty Philistine girls. And that's what he wanted, and they were hiding behind that. And that's how the enemy hides. He hides behind desirable things. Amen? Worldly things. He hides himself only to be revealed when it's too late. Now let's look, I've got several statements here from the message about this. And this is from Where Has Thy Strength Gone, Samson? He says, Samson did real well. He got a good start. And he did all right until he began to flirt. And when he began to flirt, he got into trouble. And that was his first step of backsliding. And I believe tonight that is the first step of backsliding to the church. That's when we get into trouble, brother, sister. He says, when it begins to flirt with the unbeliever. This Philistine woman was an unbeliever, and Samson was attracted to her beauty. And I think the church has did a great deal of that, being attracted, as it has begun to flirt with the world and try to pattern itself after the world. Samson got into bad company. And you always can remember that when you are in bad company, you are out of the will of the Lord. Let me read that again for our young people. When you are in bad company, you are out of the will of the Lord. My own southern mammy used to tell me, if you lay down with a dog that's got fleas, you'll get up with fleas. You might be able to say, they're fine. I can hang out with them so long and we just do. No, eventually they're going to get you in trouble. It's going to rub off on you somehow. It's going to affect you in some way. You're going to get fleas. Right? He says that's a rather rude expression, but it's got a lot of common everyday sense to it. You just can't associate yourself with the things of the world and expect to stay spiritual and humble before the Lord. Now let me stop here and say, that doesn't mean that you can't, speak to people, right? Of course not. That's not what we're talking about. It doesn't mean you can't reach out and help people. What he's talking about is having close fellowship, close relationship, spending a lot of time. Who your friends are makes a difference. It affects you. It impacts you. Amen? And so you need to know that. You need to understand that. One of the things that we learn as we grow is we understand in relationships how far we can go with a relationship. And what levels we can, interact with a person. To give you an example of what I'm talking about, we may have family that are not saved, right? And so we can have a certain level of fellowship with that family. We love them, right? We want them to be saved, but we're not going to go with them and do some of the things that they do because they're not saved, right? We're not going to look to them for spiritual advice. If someone in my family who's not saved is giving me advice, it depends what they're going to giving me advice about. Right? Maybe it's just some financial advice or something, you know, kind of a surface, right? Or something like that. Well, maybe I'll receive that. But if it's real, you know, relationship or spiritual advice, I'll say thank you very much and pretty much ignore it and take what unless it's aligned with the Word of God. Amen. I will take what the Word of God says. So we have to be careful about those things, right? But that's not to say, of course, we're going to have, you know, people that we work with and people that we go to school with and people that we interact with. Maybe we're on teams with them and all of that. And we work together with people. That's not what he's talking about, right? He's talking about being close friends that are an influence on you and that you have a relationship with. He says you can't associate yourself with the things of the world and expect to stay spiritual and humble before the Lord. You're known by your company. There's an old saying, show me your company and I'll tell you who you are. Now that's powerful, right? He says, when the church begins to keep company with the world, it's no more than the world. It gets out of fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It gets out of the company of God and of angels and of God's heritage when it begins to flirt as Samson did. Amen. So when he says you're known by your company, that's just an old common sense saying. You're known by your company. Why is that so true? Well, it's because it's showing what's in your heart. Amen. Now, as we're going to look at, as we get further in this, Samson, when he was looking for a wife, he went to the Philistine girl. That showed more about Samson than anything else. It showed what was in his heart. Amen. It was a demonstration of what was there or what was not there. So we have to remember, brother, sister, that we're in a battle. We're in a war for our souls. Amen. The enemy is trying to steal and kill our soul. It's a war. It's a battle for life. The enemy wants to bind you. He wants to steal your victory. He's not playing around. Samson thought he was just playing around, having a good time. He was just flirting with sin. And sometimes we think that, oh, well, we've got it in control. I'm only going to go so far. I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm only going this far. That means you're just flirting with it. Well, you flirt with it long enough and it's going to get a hold of you. It's going to grab a hold of you and won't let go. Amen. He might try and bind you, and he might try and attack you through a very nice person. We don't know much about this first Philistine girl. We know more about Delilah later on. But this first Philistine girl, she might have been a really, really nice person. We don't know. Right? And the enemy, he's not going to use someone ugly and hateful. He's going to use somebody that you want to be around. Right? And he might use a very nice unbeliever to bind you and to capture you and to catch you. Amen? Amen. I say this because I've seen it happen. We've all seen it happen, I'm sure. Any of us that have been around for a while. We've seen it happen with our young people. Not this current crop. Amen? But we've been around to see some come and some go. Amen. I've seen it. I remember I saw it happen, and God showed me beforehand that it would happen. And I told her, and I was basically prophesying. The Lord revealed it to me that it would happen, and that's exactly what happened. She was a young teenager, very pretty young sister, and a nice-looking young man of the world came, swept her off her feet, and now she's not in church. She's not serving God anymore. Amen? And she was warned specifically to guard against that, directly to her. The Holy Spirit spoke to her. And he's nice. You know, I'm sure he's a really, really nice guy, right? A very nice unbeliever. Amen? I know these are uncomfortable things to talk about, but we have to speak of this. Amen? A very nice unbeliever. So we have to be careful. We have to be on guard. We have to give our hearts to God first. If Samson had given his heart to God, then no one else could have come and stolen his heart away. Samson, though, because his heart was his own and he was doing his own thing, he was unstable. His own people didn't trust him. They didn't know what to make of him. They even handed him over to the Philistines at one point. They put him in chains and said, "Here, you guys take him. We don't know what to do with this guy." Right? He was kind of a maverick. But, brother, sister, any time that he got in trouble with the enemy, the power of God would come upon him. And he would do battle. Because he kept the Nazarite vow. Amen? Because of what God had given him, the gift that was in his life, even through the mistakes that he made, he still had that gift, that call. That's what the Bible says, the gifts and callings, they're without repentance. They don't have anything to do with that. God places a gift in a person's life, a prophet that is a false prophet like Balaam, he's still a prophet. He has a gift. But his heart doesn't belong to God. His heart belonged to wealth and fame and all these other things. And Samson was the same way. He had a gift. He had an anointing. He had supernatural power in his life. But he hadn't given his heart. And no matter how much we see the move of God and how much we experience the power of God, which we want to and we need that, yet none of it matters if we don't give our heart to him. Amen? So Brother Branham says this in the message, Perseverant. He says, now, Samson, he said, a lot of people thought that Samson, he said, I've seen his picture painted and he looked like he had shoulders the size of a barn door. He says, a man that size, there'd be no mystery how a man like that could pick up a lion and tear him in two. But he was a little curly-headed shrimp. A little bitty old guy. Seven little locks hanging down his back like a mama's boy. Right? So he's, you know, talking about his hair. Right? Now to see a guy like that slay a lion, that's something. No wonder the Philistines wondered where that hidden power come from. Why? How could he be so sure? He was a Nazarite. He had a vow from God. Do you know that every child of Abraham is a Nazarite with a vow from God, swore by himself? Little Samson, little curly-headed Samson, seven little locks hanging down his back and a lion come roaring out. And Samson was a little bitty man standing there, but you notice the Spirit of the Lord came on him and that made the difference. Look at him standing out on the field that day where 1,000 Philistines surrounded him. And he looked around and he couldn't have nothing to fight with. And he looked down and picked up the jawbone of a mule. And anybody knows that an old bleached out jawbone of a mule and them Philistine helmets were better than an inch thick with brass and the vesture, called what they call mail, right? So they had armor. And he's got a brittle bone, right? And them spears and great shields, thousands of them, but the Spirit of the Lord came on that little shrimp. And he reached back there and felt them seven locks. And he knew that he was still a Nazarite. Hallelujah. He took what was in his hand and he beat them skulls right in with that old jawbone. Anybody knows you hit one of them skulls with that old jawbone, it'd fly into a million pieces. But God was there to hold it together. Just supernatural. Amen? From beginning to end. He beat down and killed 1,000 Philistines. He was persistent. Why? He wasn't afraid. He could feel that Nazarite vow with him. oh, man or a woman can feel the presence of Jesus Christ and know that you're born again of the Holy Ghost, let nothing stand in your way. Persistent. When God speaks down and says, it's you. I give you faith tonight. Your healing is sure. It's my word. Then you can be persistent. You see, Samson didn't look like a great warrior, but as long as he had the covenant intact, he had a hidden power. Amen? He didn't look strong, and we don't look strong. Well, I don't look strong. Some of you might. Amen? We don't maybe look any different than people around us. We're not taller, stronger, right? Physically no different. But every Christian has a hidden power. The Holy Spirit is a hidden power in our lives. Amen? And while it's not appreciated by the world or underappreciated by the world, those around us benefit from it. We pray for those around us. We bless those around us. Amen? They ask us to pray for them. And worldly men are attracted to Christian girls, clean Christian girls. Right? Because there's something there that they're attracted to. There's a hidden power there. Amen? And something that they want in a wife. They see that. And that hidden power is for service to the Lord. Amen? It comes from obedience and consecration. Obedience to what God has told us to do. It brings the Holy Ghost power in our life. Now, sometimes there's no outward evidence of it. Amen? It's a hidden power. But God is doing a mighty work in us. So don't despise that. Amen? That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Don't despise the hidden work that God is doing in your life. Everybody may not see it right away. But He is doing a work. And don't discount it. Don't minimize it. Amen? And with Samson, you know, when the power of God would come upon him and he could be perseverant because he knew that that power was with him, it didn't matter what was coming against him or what he had. Right? He picked up a jawbone because that was the closest thing. He was fighting the Philistines because that was the enemy in front of him. It didn't matter if there was 1,000 or 10,000 or one. It really didn't matter. All that mattered was his faith in the promise. Amen? Amen? And we want to use just what God gives us. Amen? Whatever we have, whatever God has placed in our life, we want to use that. Is that right? Samson had a jawbone. If he can use a jawbone, he can use you. Amen. He can do miraculous things. If he can do things like that through a little curly-headed shrimp, he can do things through you and me. Amen. And Samson, whose heart wasn't even consecrated to God, think of what he can do with a real believer who's given their heart to God and is under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. Think of what he can do, how he can conquer, how he can defeat enemies, how he can drive out devils, how he can heal, how he can tear down strongholds. Amen. He can tear down strongholds that have been holding families hostage. Amen. Maybe they've been in a family for years and years, but yet a young person can get a hold of God and tear down a stronghold. Amen. Just like Samson. Wielding a jawbone. Because God can do that. He can do the unthinkable. In the scripture, Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth. Why? Because it doesn't matter if you're young or old or in between, if you have faith. It doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of His Word. Amen. Amen. So just think, if He was so willing to honor His promise to Samson, a man who was disobedient in many ways, yet held on to that one thing, how much more would He bless and anoint a true son or daughter of God that surrenders to Him, that gives their life to Him. How much more? Amen? He can use you in a supernatural way. It's that hidden power. It's what carries us through. Amen? Don't despise that. But that wasn't His heart. That power wasn't His heart. And God wanted His heart too. Amen? He gave God His strength. He surrendered that much to God. And God would take whatever He would give Him. And He'll take whatever you give Him in your life. You give Him part, He'll take part. You give Him 60%, He'll take 60%. He'll use it. But He wants all of you. He wants 100%. Amen? Samson would only surrender that much to God. And God would use it and give him strength. He would surrender the gift and his strength to God, but he wouldn't give God his heart. And so the enemy just kept coming to Samson because the same tactics continued to work. It worked before. He went after a Philistine girl for his wife. And the devil said, well, we can use that again. And so he begins to anoint Delilah and the other Philistines as they conspire. And they said, about Delilah, we see his weakness. Even these guys could see his weakness, right? And they wanted her to tempt him. And they offered to pay her a lot of money to find out, what is it? Look at the guy. He's a shrimp. But yet he has this strength. What is his secret? Delilah, we need you to find out. Find his weakness. We can exploit his weakness if you can find out what it is. And they said, we'll give you money. With it will come everything that you can think of. Right? And that's where her heart was. She didn't know what the source of Samson's strength was. They didn't know. But they were anointed of the devil to conspire against him. Amen? To poke and to probe, to go into his life and try and find a weakness. And brother, sister, eventually the devil will find your weak spot. He'll push a button, and if that doesn't work, he'll push the next button. And he's really patient. And if that doesn't work, he'll keep going and keep prodding until he finds a weakness. Amen? That's his job. That's what he does. He looks for a weakness to try and exploit it. Amen? That's why he's an enemy. He's an adversary. But I thank God, amen, that he is a defeated enemy. Amen. So she was sly about it. Amen. She was sneaky. She was deceptive. She didn't just come right out and say, well, I'm here to find your weakness. You know, I'm really not interested in you, Samson. I just want to know. I'm just here to get information, to pump you for information, and then I'm going to, you know, toss you aside and I'm going to go live on all this money that they're going to give me. Right? Of course that's not what she did. Of course that's not what the devil does. He doesn't come directly. He comes sneakily through the back door. Amen? She dressed herself up real sexy. She made herself look real nice. Really tempting for this man who had already proven that that's what he was interested in. That that's where his heart was. She put herself out before Samson to catch his eye. Amen? And because of the condition of his heart. Listen. Because of the condition of his heart, he was drawn by it. Amen? If he had given his heart to God, he wouldn't be pulled by that. Oh, sure, in the flesh he would have said, wow, you know, she's really pretty, but I know that God said we shouldn't, and so, right? That's what we do every day, brothers, right? We're driving down the road, walking down the street. You can't avoid it. Oh, my goodness, don't look over there. Oh, don't look over there either, right? Yeah, they're, you know, beautiful women, whatever, but that's not my heart. My heart doesn't want that. Amen? And Samson, If his heart was right, he wouldn't have been pulled by that. But he was pulled by it. Amen? And she knew exactly how, to bait the hook. Amen? Satan's a fisherman too. He knows just what bait to throw out there. She comes across to him as someone who cares for him. Somebody who loves him. Right? She's sweet to him. She's nice to him. She's giving him everything that he ever wanted in a companion. She's beautiful. She's probably gifted. She probably has a way of just making him feel so comfortable, and he wanted to be in her presence, and oh, it's just wonderful, and he's unicorns and rainbows. Right? But she wasn't of the faith. So even if all of that was true and she was a good person, right? He still shouldn't have been with her because she wasn't of the faith. But she wasn't of the faith and she had a secret. She was a conniving woman. Amen? She was after him. Let's read some out of the Proverbs here because Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Proverbs 5:3 says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Good things. Really nice. Maybe she sang really well. Maybe she read poetry. I don't know. She was nice to be around. She maybe complimented him a lot. Made him feel good, you know? Amen? Don't stare at me, right? This is real life here, amen? "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell." In Proverbs 7, it speaks about a young man who is tempted by a woman out on the street. And we're not going to read the whole thing because it's long, but we'll just get the little compressed version here. Proverbs 7:8 says, "Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house." So he's walking, he's passing by. "And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night, and beheld, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." So the attire of a harlot is beauty, right? They were dressed, the other women were just very plain, but this attire, she was very beauty, and they would use perfume, right? And maybe actually wash, I don't know, but they smelled nice, right? They were not working hard. They were different. Whatever they could use to draw a young man. And subtle of heart. So, know just what to say. Just how to attract somebody. And then we skip down to verse 21. "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." See, words, flattery. Just being so nice. "And he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter." What an image. Amen? An ox going to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. An ox going to the slaughter, it's just willingly being led. Go this way. Okay. Da, 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 da. Death. Amen? An animal that's unaware that it's about to be killed. That's this young man who was caught up with the beauty and fair speech of an evil woman. Or a bird that's running to the snare to be caught. It doesn't even know it. It thinks it's getting away and it's running right into it. Amen? Knoweth not that it's for its life. That's how the devil operates. He's good at catching you. Amen? Now, again, this is because Samson's heart hadn't been given to God. With the Holy Spirit, you can avoid all of this. That's why God gives us the Holy Ghost. That's why God gives us His Word. If we stay with His Word, if we stay with the leading of His Spirit, we avoid these things. Amen? So she, Delilah, represents any temptation. Doesn't just have to be, you know, women. Could be popularity. Could be power. Could be wealth. Anything that would tempt us. Anything that the enemy will use to draw you away from God. Amen? She uses fair speech, flattery of her lips. Doesn't have to be a man, a woman tempting a man. It could be a man tempting a woman. Amen? It could be Satan tempting you. But a person caught in that snare is done for. Led to the slaughter, going willingly, and thinking they're all right. Sin, for a person to be caught in this kind of trap, they have to think they're okay. They think they've got it under control. Amen? Samson was so enamored with Delilah, he thought he was just the luckiest guy. He thought he was right where he was supposed to be. He was so captivated by her. So enamored with her. Amen? That he was just thinking, he was just the luckiest guy. Here I am with the prettiest girl in the Philistines. Amen? He thought he had the situation under control. He was so captivated that he even let her begin to speak to him about that what she was trying to find out. She began to ask him questions. What is it, tell me, that gives you this power? Amen? Her beauty and her words had such a spell on him that she had captured him thus far, and so that's what she was going to continue to use. Persuasion. Tell me, what is it? What is it, Samson? What is it that makes you so strong? And at first he didn't, not going to tell her. But then she persisted. And she began to convince him, and you don't care about me. She played the victim card, right? Oh, you don't really love me unless you tell me. If you really loved me, you'd give up church. If you really loved me, you wouldn't, right? Amen. If you didn't love me, you would tell me. She didn't care about him. She just wanted to use him. She was thinking about 1,100 shekels of silver and how she was going to spend it. But he gave his heart to her. She didn't give her heart to him, but he gave his heart to her. Now we see that and we think, how could he do it? How could he give his heart to someone who didn't care a bit about him, who was using him for money? But brother, sister, people do it all the time. They give their heart away to the wrong things, the wrong people. Amen? That's why if he had given his heart to God first, things might have turned out differently. But instead, he gives his heart to her. He hands it over. Let's just read here. This is from Abraham's covenant confirmed. He says, you get about one out of every 500 that really believes that and sets right there. And nothing in the world will ever change them. And you say, well, what do we have to do? Cull through everything till we find that one. That's right. God searches through the earth to find one man. Oh God, when I think about it, it makes my heart burn. God is searching the earth to try and find one man that'll surrender to him. See, that's what he's looking for. Somebody to surrender to him. He says he's always done it. He found one man in the day of Noah out of the tens of millions and millions. He says there's too many people like Samson today. Samson gave God his strength, but he wouldn't give him his heart. And God could use his strength, but not his heart. Samson was somewhat of a ladies' man, you know, and he just couldn't give him his heart. He had to give that to Delilah. But he gave his strength to God. God used his strength, but he couldn't use his heart. But that's what God wants. He's looking for those that will surrender their hearts. Amen? He's not looking for a partial surrender. He's looking for complete surrender. Sin is trying to ensnare you. God is trying to set you free. Amen? Sin will take you farther than you think. You think you can play around with it. You think you can flirt with it. You think you can just sit around the fringes of it and enjoy little bits of it here and there. I can enjoy a little bit of the music. I can enjoy a little bit of the clothes. Maybe just a little bit of the makeup. I can enjoy a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and before you know it, it ensnares you. It drives its tentacles in you and it holds on and it will never let go. It will take you farther than you want to go. So we don't play around with it. We don't play around with sin. He played around with Delilah, right? He flirted with, hanging out with Delilah. And eventually it went farther and farther and farther until there was no going back. She flirted with him about this gift and about his call. And eventually he gives in to her persuasion because he just hung around it so long. He became comfortable around sin. Oh, brother, sister, young people, we don't want to ever be that way. Amen. We want to get as far away from those things as we can. Amen. Because sin will take you farther than you want to go. And he played around with it and hung around Delilah long enough that she began to ask him, what is it? What is your strength? And finally, he just gave her an answer. And at first he lied to her. Right? He said, oh, it's 7 bowstrings. If you tie my hands up with 7 bowstrings, that will be it. I will lose my strength and I'll be just like anybody else. Right? And they're kind of just playing with it. Beginning to play with the things of God. Making light of what God had put in his life. And so, of course, she tells the Philistines, and they do it. They tie his hands with bowstrings. And he breaks them. And he's like, what gives? Why did you do that? She showed her true colors right away. But yet he had become so enamored with sin. He never... any right-thinking man at that point would have just been like, okay, we're done. But you see, he had gone so far. He became so blinded that he couldn't even see clearly enough to stop. He couldn't even see what anybody else would have been able to see. Samson, there's a problem here. Right? If you hadn't lied to her, if you had told her the truth, you'd be dead. She's out to get you. But even then, he was ensnared by the words, by the flattery. Amen. By the idea of who she was. Playing around with sin. So she keeps pressing him. Why did you lie? And then victim card again. Why did you lie to me? You don't love me. You don't really care for me. You'd rather go off to church than be with me. Right? You don't care about me. You care more about your God. You care more about religion. If you really cared, you'd tell me. So he tells her again. But he lies to her again. If you tie me up with new ropes, I'll be just like any other man. Well, what do you think happened? Surprise, surprise. Anybody who's watching this from the outside is going, really? Again? Right? Ties him up. Same thing happens. And she's the one mad at him. Why do you mock me this way? And he's like, hello? You're trying to get me killed. But you're mocking me. I thought you loved me. And she has such a spell on him that he stays. He keeps coming back like an ox to slaughter. She keeps pressing him and he says, okay, if you bind my hair up, 7 braids in my hair, then I'll be weak. Of course, we know that was a lie too.
But look, he's getting closer. He's getting closer to the truth. Amen? And the same thing happens again. Three times it happened. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he... his strength returns to him. And at this point, he's just complacent with it. Just part of the routine. He's given up. You know, well, this is just the way she is, but she's my beautiful Philistine. Amen? He's okay with the sin in his life. And she keeps pressing him and pressing him, and finally he tells her the truth. And we know what happens. He presumes it's going to be just like every other time. He believes that just like the last time, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that, he's going to go up, get up, and... but this time it's different. This time, sin has taken him too far. He's crossed that line. I believe it was Brother Billy Paul that had that notable saying. He said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but surely taking control. And then sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. And that's where Samson found himself. He had flirted around with it for so long that eventually he got to the place where he crossed the line. They captured him. He had no strength against them. They gouged out his eyes. They put him in prison and enslaved him. And now, here was the mighty man of God, defeated. And Delilah, she was nowhere to be found. She was off spending her money somewhere. Because she didn't care. Brother Branham says this in Presuming. He says, Samson said, well, I'll just raise and shake myself just like I've always done. And then when I do it, God will be there. I just presume that he's there. But he found out he was gone. You know what? I believe that the church ought to get back to holiness again. We ought to get back to the right way of living. See, we presume that because we receive the Spirit, because we dance in the Spirit, because we've done these things that we have done, and God's blessed us, that we've seen healing meetings and we've seen revivals and so forth, we just figure then that's all right. But it's not about that. It's about obedience to His Word. It's about your heart. He hadn't given his heart to God. Amen? And so he lost everything. His eyes gouged out. He was made to labor. He was humbled. He lost everything that he had. But, brother, sister, he finally surrendered. He finally gave up. That's what it took for Samson to finally surrender. Let me just read you this one more statement here from the Message. This is from Just Once More, Lord. He said it, that don't mean a thing, showmanship. He said, we got too much Hollywood, but it don't bring the Spirit and power of God down. It might bring enthusiasm, but it doesn't bring the power of God. They're not willing to pay the price. He said, Samson prayed right. Once he was defeated, he prayed right. He surrendered. He said, what did he pray? In closing, I might say this, Lord, let me die with the enemy. That's the trouble. They don't want to pay the price of dying. You got your own self worked up into a community, into a bunch of people that you associate with and play cards and stay home and watch programs and eat tater chips and drink Cokes. Nothing wrong with eating chips and Cokes, right? But he said it's who you're doing it with, right? And when you're doing it, okay? But and the church sets empty. Don't go drink potato chips and Coke when you should be in church. He says, that's right. Make you sign a card and you'll come 6 months out of the year to Sunday school. Such man-made enthusiasm. What you need is the Holy Ghost. Oh, you say, I got it. You sure don't act like it. Let the preacher preach an hour or something, another like that. You're ready to call the trustee board and throw him out. That's right. You want to eat your cake and keep it too? You can't do that. No, sir. You got to surrender yourself. You got to get a price to pay.
got a cleaning up to do. And I tell you, the whole church world needs a cleaning up, cleaning all the way from the pulpit to the janitor's room. That's right. It's the truth. Not willing to pay. He says, but Samson prayed right when he said, Lord, let me die with these Philistines. He had failed. But he said, let me die. You must be ready to die to the enemy that's got victory over you. You must be willing to surrender your own ideas. And Samson was willing to pay the price to get the power of God again. But brother, sister, it would have been a different story if Samson had surrendered to God from the beginning. That's what we're trying. That's why we're having youth meetings. We're trying to help you avoid things like that. Surrender and seek God early, and you avoid all of these other problems. Amen. That's not to say that you won't have troubles in your life, that you won't have trials. Of course you will. But you can avoid many of the problems by sowing the right seed in your life. We know that people like Samson, there is a redemption for them. You can be saved. You can be an enemy against God. You can rebel against God. You can go out in the world and God can turn you around and bring you back. But if you do that, there is a price to pay. There are things that you do in your life that you will pay for. Seeds that are sown that you have to reap the harvest from. And Samson was never gained his eyesight. He died. So we'll just finish the story, right? His hair begins to grow back as he's in hard labor. And so his hair begins to grow back. And with it, he finally surrenders his heart to God. Amen. And he says, Lord, let me die with my enemies. They bring him in to the big palace to make fun of him. He puts his hands on the pillars. And the strength returns to him again. And he pushes down the entire building, killing more Philistines in that one time than he did it in his entire life. But with it, he dies also. Amen. He died a miserable man. He went out in kind of like a blaze, right? But what a horrible thing that he had to go through. And it was avoidable. Right? If he had just planted the right seeds. And so people can be saved after they've done horrible things, but they still have to reap what they've sown. Amen? And the example that I think is just a really good example that we use is a woman that would have a baby out of wedlock, right? A young girl who would get pregnant and then of course, there's salvation and redemption and all those things, but that baby doesn't go away, right? You still, and we wouldn't want it to, right? We love children, of course, but it's still there, right? You're still dealing with that. If you commit a crime and you become a Christian, you still have to pay the time for that crime. You still, if you're in prison, you're still in prison. There's consequences to those things. Right? And so what we're trying to do is to help you avoid that. Amen. Amen. Give your heart to the Lord. Don't be like Samson, who was willing to just give him a part of his life. Give him his gifts and his strengths and call himself a Christian. Call himself a believer. But his heart wasn't given over to God. He had forsaken God, but he came back. But if we never go out, how much more blessed will we be? What is a greater testimony? One who goes out and falls in sin and gets scarred in the world and then comes back. That's a great testimony. But it's a greater testimony for one that is held back from that. That never goes out in the world and never gets those scars. They give their hearts to God at an early age and they serve Him their entire life. To me, that's a testimony. That's a greater testimony. Samson said, let me die with my enemies. Only at the very end did he finally surrender his heart to God. Amen? We want to do it now while we can. Jeremiah 29:13, and we'll just end with this. Let's all stand this evening. He says, You shall seek me, and you shall find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. Musicians, if you'd come tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Father, as we just meditate on your word tonight, Lord, we see these examples in your scripture, Lord, your word. Lord, for our benefit, Father. And Lord, we can learn so much. We can avoid so much heartache if we just walk in your ways, Lord. We know that life will never be a flowery bed of ease. And the life of a Christian is still filled with trials and struggles. But yet when our hearts are given over to you, Lord, we always have rest. We always have peace. Knowing that you're with us. Knowing that you're our friend. Knowing that even when we're by ourselves, maybe we feel lonely, Lord, that you're there. Because we've given ourselves to you completely. We've surrendered to you. Lord, maybe there's some here tonight, Father. Maybe they've given a partial surrender. Maybe they've surrendered part of their lives. But Lord, you're looking for complete surrender tonight. I pray if there's someone who like that tonight, Lord, that you would just move on their hearts, Lord. That they would respond to your word and to your call. That they would move towards you and surrender completely, Lord. Maybe they've been flirting with sin, Lord. Flirting with worldliness. Flirting around with worldly friends. Worldly music, dress. All those things that come with it. But yet there's something in their heart telling them that's wrong. That's not God's plan for your life. Lord, I pray that they would surrender to you tonight. That they would give their heart to you. Not just their strength. Not just their abilities, Lord, but their heart. We know when we give our heart to you, Lord, that's total. That's it. The heart drives everything in our lives. Our motives, our objectives, our desires, our goals, our hopes, our dreams. It's all flows from our heart. I pray that they would surrender that to you, Lord. No doubt, Lord, the enemy has come and he's tried to tempt and to test and to prod and to put things before each and every one. Every young person here tonight, I know they've experienced it, Lord, and they'll continue to experience it. I know that devil will continue. He'll send that Delilah before them. Whatever form that Delilah will take, whatever that temptation would be, he'll continue to put that before them. But Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that they would surrender their heart. That Delilah spirit would not have an influence on them. That it would not be able to sway them. That their eyes would be so open to it, they would see right away. I see what you're doing, Satan. I see your tricks. I acknowledge that my flesh would be tempted to that, but I know what you're trying to do. And my heart belongs to my Savior. Father, I pray that you'd move on their hearts tonight. Each and every one of us, Lord, we must all surrender completely. Young, old, it doesn't matter. If we haven't surrendered to you completely in that way, Father, I pray that they would just do that now, that they wouldn't wait another day, not wait for another service to come and go, not let that enemy lie to them and say, well, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the next service. Today is the day of salvation. While the Spirit is here, the Word has been preached, that they would move, that they would take a step towards you, God. Lord, I know that when anyone will make one move, no matter how small of a move, how small of a step towards you, just lifting their hand and say, oh God, I need you more. Just that small step, Lord, then you move toward that. When we step towards you, oh God, you leap toward us. I pray that there would be such a surrender in this place tonight, oh God. Lord, that your Spirit would have total control. That you would win complete victory, Lord, in every heart tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we look to you now, Father. Your word's gone forth, Lord. The word has been preached. Now we just ask you to move as we surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to Him now as we just surrender to Him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's sing that. We sang a little bit earlier, I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withhold, oh, we don't hold anything back, withhold, giving him our whole heart tonight. Yes, I surrender all to you. You just lift your hands and surrender tonight. Everything I give to you. Don't hold back, withholding. Lord, I give you my whole heart tonight. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Don't hold anything back. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, and I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. I give myself away. Surrender all. Don't just sing it tonight. Make that your prayer. Everything I give to you, withhold.